Appreciate what's been said before us. We ask an interest in your prayers. Speaking of those New Year's resolutions, is any of them still in effect, or have they already been abandoned? We joke about that, you know, we make those resolutions and they don't last very long. Well, certainly we have a need for planning. I mean, there's lots of things that we have to plan out. It'd be chaos if we didn't. Certainly we want to set some goals and try to accomplish some things. And certainly that's good. But you know, James, I'll get to my text in just a moment. The book of James, he warns us about boasting about tomorrow. Those that would say, you know, I'm going to go into the city and I'm going to buy and sell and get gain and all those kinds of things. He says, no, you should say, if it's the Lord's will. And anything, New Year's resolution, goal, planning, whatever, that needs to be a part of the fabric of what we're doing. If it's the Lord's will. Submitting ourselves to the will of God and seeking to know what that is. Now, the main focus in this kind of planning or whatever the kind of thing might, the main focus from Scripture is to focus on today. Now I'll read my text. Psalm 118, verse 24. I want to use this principle for a number of things, but Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. This is the day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For every child of God who understands what God has done for us, who understands our need of Him, who understands our eternal security in the blood of Jesus, we've got something to rejoice in and be glad today. Now, for those things, it'll still be there tomorrow and the next day, and as long as we, well, into all eternity, we'll be praising Him for just that, for saving us from our sins. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The devil would like nothing more than to steal your joys. The devil would like nothing more than to frustrate your way. The devil would like nothing more than to get you to listen to him and his discouragement instead of listening to the Lord and the help that he is. This is the day. How often have we gone through a day and just been so miserable? We ought to be the most joyful. Now, I say that carefully. We ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth because of what God has done for us. Because what he has blessed us to know of what he has done for us. He sent his son to this world not to try to save anybody, but he did save them. His blood has cleansed all of his people. We are preserved in him. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I could rejoice in that. Sometimes life is hard and we don't feel like rejoicing. And we're carrying heavy burdens. But in our heart, if we could just remember those things that God has done for us that we can rejoice in, it will help us tremendously. So this focus of this day and today, I want to notice several things. I'll go to several passages, but I want to emphasize how that the Lord would have us to make the best of this day. rather than putting our focus on another day. I understand we have to plan. I understand we have to make provisions for things. But in all of that, let's emphasize the blessing of this day, today, that we have. You know, tomorrow's not promised. And you don't have to be old to understand that tomorrow is not promised. I can't change the past. There's a few things that I would like to go back and change, but I cannot. But I've got today. I've got the blessing of the Holy Spirit that God has given me to help me to understand what He has done for us, our safety and our security in Him, the joy of what awaits us when this life is over, the help that we have each day as we go through life, and knowing that He's there for us whenever we call upon Him. Understanding that in the world we shall have tribulation. But He goes on to say, be of good cheer. Today. We think about some of the scriptures where this focus is revealed to us. How about in our daily praying? You remember the model prayer that Jesus gave us? And I'm going to use Luke's account of this. But he says, give us day by day our daily bread. We understand we need nourishment, physical nourishment each day. But I'm going to tell you something, as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a witness for Him in this world, we need spiritual daily bread. The word that Brother Kenneth was speaking about, we need that. We need to be feasting upon that every day we live. You know, I've said this many times, a well-fed soul can face the trials of life a whole lot better. A person can face the trials of life a whole lot better when his soul is well-fed, even more so than if the body is. If we're close to the Lord, if we're seeking His face, if we're seeking guidance from Him, we're much better off than if we're trying to make it on our own and go our own way. And so when Jesus is giving us the model prayer, and in Luke chapter 11, verse 3, He said, give us day by day. I mean, you can't miss the emphasis there. Day by day, our daily bread. Do you remember the manna that fell in the wilderness? Wasn't that a miraculous thing? That God called His people out of Egypt, and they complained and wondered, can God feed us in the wilderness? And yet He rained down manna and fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. Isn't that amazing? But there they were. Whenever the cloud would move, they had to break up camp and follow the cloud. So they didn't have time to plant a crop. They didn't have time to do those kinds of things. God showed them every day. You know, the manna came 6 days a week, and then they had it on the sixth day. It would keep until the seventh, so they didn't have to have it, so they could keep the Sabbath. God provided. I mean, just if you haven't thought about that recently, think about that for a little while, of what God did in the way of providing for His children in the wilderness. Don't you know He can do the same today? Now, He chose, notice His design for that manna that fell in the wilderness. It didn't keep until the next day, did it? Now, He told them, that's what's going to happen, so you gather it up and so forth. But some tried it, didn't they? Some tried to keep it until the next day. Didn't work, did it? God said it wouldn't. And all of that was training to show them that God said, this is what you do, And when you follow God's way, you'd be blessed. You reckon that lesson has any validity today? We walk by, oh, I was going to say sight. No, we do, don't we? We do that too often. We walk by sight. If we're following this word, we walk by faith, not by sight. It works out a whole lot better, doesn't it? There's more success in that, I believe, in walking by faith, according to the word of God, because then you have God's blessings with you. Give us day by day. Matthew says, give us this day our daily bread. That works too, doesn't it? There's no conflict there. But Luke just gives that other dimension to it about day by day. Lord, just tell me now. I want to know all of it now. That's the way we like to live. We want to walk by sight, and so we want all the answers now. We want to see how it's going to play out. And the Lord says, day by day, follow me. Wow. That takes some faith, doesn't it? Patience. Yeah. Give us day by day. See the emphasis? It's not so much on what he gives, because he knows what's best. It's a matter of trusting him each day, day by day. How's your praying? Is it following that pattern? You see, the Lord gave us that model prayer, and I don't have a problem praying those very words. He did say, after this manner, pray ye. And so you don't have to. But I like to think, because I'm convinced, I know for a fact, the Lord knew exactly what we need to be praying. So he did give us the liberty of saying, after this manner, pray ye. But I'm persuaded that he covered the bases, so to speak. And so in our praying, we need to remember that example the Lord gave us. You're not going to improve on that example. I've seen recipes for prayers, and I've seen folks say, you know, you need to be doing this and that and the other. And I just do not believe you can improve upon the Lord's example. So, day by day. So, first of all, if we're not praying on a regular basis, we ought to. And if we are praying each day, then remember, the Lord taught us to be praying day by day. Give us our daily bread. All right? The emphasis is upon today. We're focusing upon serving the Lord today. We'll find things that we can rejoice and be glad about. Now that's praying. How about just discipleship in general? Does he give us a focus on this day in that? Well, again, I'm going to stick with Luke, with his account of this. But when the Lord said, if any man will come after me, following him, being like him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And Luke says, daily, and follow me. Huh. So each day, when we awake in the morning, we should think about, what would the Lord have me to do today? How do I need to proceed, Lord? You've got all the answers. I don't. I've got ideas, but you've got the answers. Take up our cross daily. So deny, the Lord said, first of all, deny If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't make provisions for yourself, but it is a matter of priority. Seeking the Lord first. Asking the Lord what is his will to do. And then as we're seeking the Lord's will, we know that he'll lead us to make those provisions that are good and appropriate in our life. You know, when you go read in Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord's going through those things and leading up to these verses about praying daily and so forth, he speaks about how that, you know, take no thought. And what he mentions that twice in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought. And what he's talking about is no anxious thought. We're not to worry about those things. And he talks about the birds. He talks about the lilies of the field being arrayed more gorgeously than Solomon in all of his glory. God provides for the birds. And I've said a number of times, I've never seen a little bird with a sign around his neck saying, I'll work for food. God provides for them. Are we not much of more value than many sparrows? Will God provide for us? Are we seeking him? Are we asking for his help in a way that's pleasing to him? Take up our cross. Do you know there's some reproach in this world to observing the principles of Christianity? I'm talking about not some denominational standards or rules or those. No, I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about what the Lord taught us to be as a Christian, how we should live our life, the choices that we make. As we go through life, as we live in a way that's according to this word, there are going to be sometimes some people are not going to have it. Well, you know what? That's okay. Who really loves us? Who loves us to the point that he gave his life for ours? Who was willing to suffer more than we can imagine? I mean, we can read and we can see the suffering that Jesus endured at the hands of men. But then God put darkness upon the face of the earth when he poured out his wrath upon his son, as his son took the payment or made the payment for all of our sins. When I say all, I'm talking about all of God's people. When God poured out his wrath upon his son, he didn't even look. He didn't even allow man to look upon it. He did that for us. He suffered that for us. He gave himself for our sins. Can we not deny ourselves? Can we not take up that cross and identify ourselves with Jesus while we live here in this life? I hope that others can look at me and see the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that others can look at you and see the Lord Jesus Christ in the decisions that you make, in the life that you live. That's what it's all about, as being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. This day, how are you doing so far today? How'd you do yesterday as a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Are there just certain days of the week that we're supposed to be disciples of Jesus? You know, maybe Sunday and Wednesday, you know. No. It's every day. How are we doing? How's our emphasis on the day, each day the Lord gives us? You know, that's a blessing. Like I said earlier, we don't have to be old to die. Tragedies can happen. Health conditions can happen. My brother that was next to me, he was 5 years older than me. When he was 43 years old, he went to work one day, and at lunchtime, doctor said he was likely dead before he hit the ground. You don't have to be old. He was 43 years old. You don't have to be old. We're not promised tomorrow. Thankful that we can make plans. I'm thankful that we can do those things. But let's approach each day. This day, we will rejoice and be glad in it, knowing who He is, knowing what He's done for us, knowing the opportunity we have to live before Him in a way that's pleasing unto Him, and the glory of the prospect that awaits us when this life is over. So, not only in our praying and not only in our following, I think I touched on this, but don't let worry destroy your day. Let's go for just a moment to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I got to hasten on here. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now, like I said earlier, that's telling us not to take anxious thought. Not worrying about it. I know that's easy to say. I know sometimes there are situations in life that it's hard to absolutely observe that. But I'm going to tell you, the more we're looking to the Lord, the more we're trusting in Him, the more we're denying ourselves, the more we're taking up our cross and being willing to identify with Jesus no matter what comes in our life, the easier it can be. I remember Sister Jane Edgerton. Many of you knew her. And it wasn't until very late in her life that I really got to understand. And that sister had such a trust in the Lord. Like many of you, but she certainly had a great trust in God taking care of her. Maybe she'd spent many years worrying before she got to that place. I don't know. I just know what I learned later on in her life. She had a great abiding, and I mean, some of her circumstances was not good, and yet it didn't seem to faze her. She just trusted that the Lord was going to provide. Isn't that wonderful? Take no anxious thought for your life. I'm going to take time to read a little bit. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? If God provides for the birds, will He not provide for His children? You know the answer to that. It is yes. The answer to that is a resounding yes. So what's our problem? We know it. Do we do it? Can we apply it? What I'm exhorting you today is to look at what we have today. I guess I need to keep reading to get to the next idea. He says, which of you, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's addressing those ones that he said, take no anxious thought, don't worry about your life. Obviously, you know, he's not talking about being reckless in our choices, but he is talking about clinging to the Lord, trusting in his care, all right, to provide for us. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He's not exhorting us not to worry tomorrow or yesterday. He's saying, don't worry today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And do you know what follows that? And all these things shall. Let that sink in for a second. Shall be added unto you. Take no anxious thought. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, there's enough for us to be concerned about today. To live before God as we should. To consider ourselves. To consider how we might be a help to others. How we might be a positive impact in the kingdom of God today. You've got enough to deal with today, right? Tomorrow, you'll have another opportunity if you have a tomorrow, you'll have another opportunity tomorrow to deal with today. Today is all we have. How we live before our God. How we seek his face. How we let our light shine. How we make choices. How we make decisions. It's for today. Today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right? A couple of verses I want to notice that speaks of how we need to be at peace. Brother Kenneth mentioned how he enjoys peace. Peace is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's wonderful for the individual. It's wonderful for families. It's wonderful for churches. It's wonderful for a nation. You know, I had the thought when Brother Kenneth was talking about the kind of peace that the Lord brought. You know, it's possible this whole world could be at peace one with another and not be at peace with God. But how wonderful that God sent his Son to reconcile us, to make peace between us and God. That's the peace that we rejoice in. That's the peace that we give glory to God for, because he did it. He brought it to us. How wonderful that we have that. And that's what enables us to rejoice and be glad in each day, because of the peace we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 and 26. A simple, as Paul is going through this lesson of putting off the old man and putting on the new, we're going to serve the Lord as we should and be his dear children, as he gets into in the next chapter. But Ephesians 4, a simple principle after he speaks of how that we put on the new, and he goes through a number of short exhortations, and I just want one. Verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." In other words, be careful how you conduct yourself. It's so easy when frustration and anger arises. It's so easy to forget our Christianity. Don't do that. All right? Be angry and sin not, but here's what I'm after. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what he's telling us there? Settle it today. Don't let it carry over into tomorrow. Settle it today. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, forgiveness is a release. You can harbor ill feelings and it'll make you sick. But if we can release it, give it to God. There may be that we've tried and we can't reconcile the situation, but we can release it to God. In other words, he tells us, take care of it today. Be quick about it. Do something about it now. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See how harboring things like the anger and the frustration and so forth takes away from your gladness in this day? He gives us a principle that will help us tremendously in our day. Now I want to go to Romans 13. I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty quick here. Romans 13. And thinking about rejoicing and being glad this day. I believe Brother Kenneth made the statement about, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the world loved one another? That would be, wouldn't it? Well, you know what? Someday, not here, but in heaven's pure world, that's what we'll enjoy. And it'll be a degree of love and consistent love and sincere love and pure and holy and rejoicing that we've never experienced this side of glory. But if we know him and if we know what he's done for us, then he tells us that we are to be loving now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when this and that happened. No, today. If God has blessed us to know his love for us, if he's blessed us to know we're not worthy of it, we didn't earn it, but by his grace he has given it to us, by his mercy we continue in it because we cannot be separated from his love. The kind of love that he has for us is everlasting, it's unconditional. And he calls upon us to be loving not only to him in thanksgiving and gratitude, but to love one another. Didn't the Lord summarize the Ten Commandments that way? The first, he said, was to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love one another today. If you have it tomorrow, do it then too. But the focus is today. Today. Now in Romans 13, I'm going to begin in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. He goes through several of the commandments. And he says, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How did Jesus say that all men would know that we're his disciples? If you have love, one to another. Today. That's what's meaningful. Do it today. Don't put it off. Do it today. So he goes on to say then in Romans 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, do we know the time? I don't mean on your watch. I don't mean on your phone. Do we know the time? We know that this world is in a mess. We know that just like many other times, our president has sent troops somewhere because of some disturbance. Just think of the lives being affected, the families being affected by those kinds of things. Who knows what's going to happen next? I think I saw a quick headline this morning, another disturbance somewhere else. I've forgotten now where it was, but somewhere else something's brewing. I got a feeling there's going to be more. I got a feeling that this is a plan. Knowing the time. You start thinking about what's going on in this world and how helpless we are to affect any of it, and all we can say is, Lord, help us. We need you above all else. I can't do anything. Well, I shouldn't say I can't do anything. I can't do much. But what I can do is today, I want to humble myself. I want to seek your face. I want to turn from whatever is displeasing to you and walk humbly before God. I want to be a disciple that others sees Christ in me. I want to be thankful today for the blessings that we have. I know there's lots of things we wish were different, but we'll thank God for what we have. We'll rejoice in the salvation that is ours, in the having the blessing of the church, having blessing of a church family, having the blessings that God provides for us every day. He loadeth us with benefits. I can do that today. Love one another. So he says, And knowing the time, that now, that's today, isn't it? This doesn't say today, but it says now. That works for me. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. There's a lot of sleepy Christians today. There's a lot of people that have identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're asleep on the job. Knowing the time, don't you think it's time for us to wake up and give glory to God and live like we're his child? For his glory, let that light shine that others can see what you believe, that others can see who you love, that others can see how you're going to take a stand on the issues that are facing us in this day. Today. Hebrews, he talks about today, if you will hear his voice. And he's talking about that day back on in the day of provocation when they went to Kadesh Barnea and they sent the spies over into the land. Now God had already divided the Red Sea. God had already delivered them from Egypt. And the spies went over and said, yes, it's a good land, but we can't take it because there's giants over there. God was sorely provoked with that people and caused them to wander in circles for 40 years. because of their unbelief. Where are we? Where are we as God's people today? Are we letting the light shine? Or are we walking in circles in unbelief? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, if we think about it, we have today to serve the Lord. We have today to love one another. We have today to pray unto him like we should. We have unto today to follow him in those paths of righteousness which he laid down before us. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, as we think about the blessings that can be ours today, may God help us to rejoice in his goodness, in his mercy, in his salvation, his power, his glory, his mercy. There's plenty for us to be glad and rejoice about. This is the day the Lord hath made. He's provided so much for us. We have to make our way in this world. We have to deal with the tribulations that we face. We have to deal with the heartaches that come. We have to deal with the trials that we face each day. But God is still there. Just like he told Joshua, God is still there for us. Take no anxious thought. Be merciful to others. Be kind. Follow this word. Treasure it up each day. Feast upon it as your daily bread. Lay it to heart. Meditate upon it. Act on it. It'll be to the glory of God, and it'll redound to your blessing. It'll come back to you as a blessing, but all the while, it'll be to the glory of God. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May God help us to do just that, no matter what. May God bless you, Zerper.